Yep, just really excited about the game being a week away, and our players excited. School started today, so we're back to our normal schedule of morning classes and afternoon practices and meetings. And so just really looking forward to the game, and been really proud of the way our guys performed in camp and the bond that they share with each other, and really looking forward to them competing. And, you know, we know exactly what Navy brings to the table. They're a dangerous team. And I think I have to keep reminding everyone that they finished ranked last year and won a lot of games. And they're an efficient team. They control the ball really well and make a lot of big-time plays. And that's just not on offense. That's on defense as well. They're disruptive on defense, and special teams, they're clean. And that's what you expect from what Ken does as a coach and his amazing staff. I think they do a great job of getting those players to play to their strengths, and we're going to have to play to ours in order to compete against a really quality team that's in my mind a ranked team that we're looking into going into their house and trying to disrupt them. So we're looking forward to the challenge, and our guys are excited about playing football in a week. So I'll answer any questions you guys have for us.
Okay, we'll start with John Kuhn, then Jason, then Jared Lloyd.
Kalani, you have the rare opportunity of facing teams that run the triple option 2 weeks in a row to start out the season. Has that given you any added insight, that extra preparation time, in how to scheme against these attacks?
Well, you haven't really thought about it beyond Navy. That's all we're focused on right now. I know that Army is the next opponent, but I think focusing on Navy is more important than anything else. I haven't really looked into what Army does and then how different they are from Navy. So really just focusing on this game. It's a unique offense, but there's a lot of carryover. There's a lot of things that are really important when it comes to the game. It's the fundamentals that are going to help us win this game. And it's tackling well, blocking well on offense, and you know, making sure that we're a disciplined team. That those are going to be the keys, fundamentals and discipline. So I'm trying to focus on that. And, you know, just looking at ways to limit their playmakers. They utilize everyone they have on the team, and they have they're built on physicality and toughness. And so we're going to have to match it.
Okay, Jason.
Lonnie, I know you don't like to make things about you, but from a personal standpoint, what is the significance for you to have two Polynesian head coaches who were both members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints being the head coach in this game that it will be televised nationally?
I mean, I haven't really thought about it like that. I just know that I admire what Ken does as a coach, and more than anything, I admire what he does as a person. And the contributions that he's made as a church member, but also just as a human. I think I look at the wonderful things that he does as a person, that, and even in his relationships as a husband, as a father, and as a friend. I think he's a good example to me as a coach, and being in from the same hometown, you know, and seeing him. I mean, I'm dating him. He's older than I am, so I just want to make sure that everybody understands that I look at him as a mentor. But a lot of the things that we do culturally in our team feeds off of how we are as a, you know, from our religion to our hometown and to our heritage. And so I think that kind of goes into what you do as a coach, and then kind of filters into your players and that mindset that you have. And I think it's perfect for the game of football. But I also think that being able to balance all of that, is he's been a great example to me as a coach. And so, and as a father and a husband myself. So that's probably all I can say about it personally. Comes down to it, the guys on the team on the field will be making the plays, you know, and Ken and myself will be cheerleading with the mask on and doing everything we can to keep our players motivated and to remember the training that they've had up into this game. And so that it comes down to it be that, but a lot of appreciation for the military, for Navy, for those young men that allow us to feel comfortable in this life, and then allow me to grow and become a coach and be a head coach, and there's a lot of things that you could look at in this game for me that I'm really thankful for, and the fact that we get to play the game. So, but that's all great. But when it comes down to it, we're going to play the game and have fun, and and really show the country what we have and the appreciation we have to play this game against Navy.
Hey, Jared.
Kalani, Jeff talked in the coordinator's corner about how Zach Wilson, we saw the depth chart get released today and how he earned it with his performance. He earned the starting job with his performance in fall camp, even beyond his experience and what he'd done elsewhere. What did Zach do to earn that spot that you saw, and as far as his leadership for the team?
I think he's healthy, number one. I think that he had a great offseason, not having to rehab or anything like that. I think it was he was able to just kind of master his craft a little bit more and improve his game. And he worked really hard during the offseason. I think just having that another year and more time under his belt and understanding the system, I think fall camp wise, it was, this is third fall camp. So he obviously feels a lot more comfortable, even though it's a little bit disrupted, a little bit different. The bulk of it all is really important for him to, instead of trying to establish himself as a player, now he's trying to compete, which he's going to have to do every time, but compete and try to solidify his spot. But within the midst of doing that, he was able to work on his relationship, his timing, his, iron out some things that he wanted to become his strengths as a quarterback, and it showed, and every position is going to have to compete. We'll play the best guys, and he definitely earned it.
Okay, we'll go with Sean next, then Mitch and Scott. So, Sean?
Yeah, Coach, Jared kind of stole literally the exact question that I was going to ask you. So, well done, Jared. But just kind of in following up on Zach, Jeff was saying that sort of a lot of what he did to earn the starting job, it almost didn't matter that he kind of came in with experience and all that. Did you see something kind of during camp about just how much he wanted it, I guess, to be the starting quarterback?
I think for all the quarterbacks, I think they felt more comfortable just knowing the scheme rather than having to learn so many different things. I think having that foundation of knowledge and being familiar with the scheme, familiar with the receivers. And then it also helps to have a lot of veterans up front protect for you, and now you're not really too concerned about the pass protection. You're really looking at what you can do to get the right reads and make sure you're making the best decisions as a quarterback. So I think having the experience around all the quarterbacks helped out, and allowed them to focus in on being a quarterback when you have, Matt Bushman and others that are returning players that just have a lot of experience and a lot of time together. I think that's going to be the key for those guys. But it helped benefit all the quarterbacks that are returning. That's with Zach, Jaren, and Baylor. And so, we're looking for those guys to do some things for us this year. And knowing that they've been in position to do it, all three of them, from last year, and then going to this year, I feel like they're a lot more comfortable, a lot more established in where they're with with the offense and with the system and with being in college. And so they're able to just straight out compete.
Kalani, who will be your captains this season?
We did some voting. It's kind of a log jam because there are eight guys that received all about the same amount of votes. I think the two guys that got the most were guys that you probably would already guess, but I think we're going to look at it. I think the new rule now is only one person gets to go out for the coin toss. And so it's more about the established leaders. I think we have a good group of leaders, and that's a good problem to have when you have a bunch of guys getting captain votes. And so we'll release that in the next little bit.
Okay, Scott, you're next, and then we'll hear questions from Matt, Brandon, Jay, and Jake.
Okay, thanks. Coach, I'm filling in for Jason Swenson, who's got dueling media availabilities right now, but will be out at the game next week. And following up on the previous question, as far as the shared island heritage, legacy, and the shared faith, also return missionaries for both head coaches here. Don't know if that will get additional attention from national media, from ESPN with that. But if you had to talk about the impact of return missionaries and what coaches who have gone through that experience can share with recruits, with the scholarship, juggling with the criticism nationally of H? How would you respond?
Well, serve a mission, and you'll know exactly what it's about. You know, so I think that I applaud all these young men that and young women that make the decision to serve a mission, putting their life on hold for a number, you know, for months and a year and a half to 2 years, and that's a huge sacrifice that they're making. So you look at that. It athletically, I don't think it helped myself or Ken. It didn't help us get better as a football player, but what it did for me is really helped me. Because of the things, the lessons I learned from serving a mission, you know, and it's just a lesson of service. And whether you're doing it on a mission for religious purposes or you're doing it in the military, helping others and thinking of others first, there's something that happens during that time. And I don't know if it can really be defined into something that's going to help you athletically or anything like that, but it can really help you with your life. And so I know that there's lessons that go on in my life. I mean, I said it before, I played in a lot of football games here at BYU, you know, but I don't think about my career as a football player every day here at BYU. But I since I got home from my mission, I think about my mission every day. There's not a day that goes by that I haven't thought about my time serving in the Bay Area, serving others. And so I'm really proud of that. And I know all the other missionaries that have served can feel exactly what I'm talking about. And others that want to criticize or say whatever they want about it, it's really difficult to make light of something when people are really thinking about others and helping others. So, and I think it could help you personally. I don't know if it helps you football wise or athletically, but that's all right. Those that have served know, they're all nodding their heads. I can see some that they're in the media, they're nodding their head exactly agreeing with what I'm saying.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Matt.
Coach, I was looking at the depth chart. What is the Cinco position and what are the responsibilities for it on the defensive side?
They're all hybrid positions. We feel like there's a lot of guys that can play different positions, and I don't know if I need to define what they're doing at each play, but there's a chance that you probably see the nickel, the flash, the jack, and other positions doing a lot of different things that may not be your traditional safety linebacker, outside linebacker, inside linebacker type of role. So really hard to answer that question. If I show you five plays, they might be doing different things on all five. But it takes a unique player to play those positions that can be a hybrid, that we need them to be safety, linebacker, and corner, you know, at different times. So that's probably the best way to put it.
Okay, hey, Brandon, Bernie, and then just so clarified, then we'll have Jay Drew, and then Jake Edmonds, and Jay Catch.
Yeah, Keenan Ellis and Chris Wilcox named as the starting cornerbacks. What's gone into that? And you could just comment on both those guys and what won the job for them.
Well, we feel like, you know, Keenan's come along. I mean, he's done a great job in camp, and Chris is a guy that's always been, you know, he's been here for a long time. And so I think depending on what we do defensively, that it's hard to – that's just a depth chart. But week to week, things could change on who the 11 are out on the field, and depending on the situation or the personnel that we're seeing from the offense. So just looking at it, you're going to see those are a lot of names on the depth chart, but 11 of that group will be on the field at one time. Shouldn't be any more.
The guy missing from the depth chart was Isaiah Heron. Is he? What's his status?
There's always, when you're looking at competition, and this isn't just to anyone specifically, but guys have to battle injury, they have to battle knowing the plays, and you know, we went through a long camp, and so the depth chart could change. It's not anything that's set in stone, but. Oh, the guys that prepare and perform the best will be on the depth chart and will be on the field.
Kalani, I wonder if you could just take us through what this week will entail. When are you leaving for Annapolis? When will you have the walkthrough? Where are you as far as the typical game week?
Yeah, we're under the rule of 20 hours per week now, starting school and getting ready for the game. So we're going to keep our numbers under that, obviously, with compliance. So we'll practice today and tomorrow. We'll give the players off on Wednesday, and then we'll practice again Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll travel Sunday early morning, get there, and then not do anything on Sunday other than anything that needs to do with our religious needs. But then other than that, get up Monday morning. The game being late Monday night, we'll be doing some walkthroughs, get the guys a little bit of a sweat Monday morning, get them a little workout, and then get ready for the game, meet and get ready for the game.
When you have the East Coast games, you usually go 2 days before. Why the change? This is it because of the playing on Monday, or why the change?
Well, we looked at a lot of different things that even what NFL teams do. And when you're going, it's different going from, east to west and west to east. And so for us, looking at the dynamics, looking at the hours, probably works the best for us doing this way. And then the game, knowing the kickoff time, I think it's a little bit easier to plan ahead compared to not knowing when it's usually not known until the week of. And so being able to know that the game is 8 p.m. on a Monday night gives us a lot of time that we can kind of get things set and have our guys ready to go. Plus, we don't do anything on Sunday. We don't meet or practice.
Coach, feels like a fantasy draft where you have all your questions written down and then everyone asks them already before it gets to you. But I did have a follow-up on just the logistics of travel and how things may change in that sense with COVID-19.
In this week or just in general?
Specifically this week, but if there's a general to it as well, then that as well.
No, we've been in contact with Navy and our protocol and testing and everything like that. So, as we start getting closer to game time, we'll definitely have our guys tested throughout the week and make sure that we're ready to roll and that everybody is. Even as we travel, that we're practicing social distancing as we get to the hotel room. It'll be different than a normal travel, normal travel to a game. And we'll just continue to do things the right way and make sure that our guys are doing everything to stay safe. And it's not just protecting ourselves, it's protecting everyone else too. So I think everything is in accordance to what both schools and what the American Conference is thinking about, that would give them, make them comfortable. And our both administrations have been in contact and communication about it. And I've been really pleased with the way both schools have been able to make this happen for us. And we'll just deal with whatever happens, depending on the tests and depending on what other policies or protocols may come up. We're down to follow whatever is expected from us.
Hatch, can you just hold on a minute? So after Jake, we'll have a question from Mitch, Jared, and Matt. And that will probably be it. We'll look at the time.
Yeah, Kalani, I wanted to ask you, in terms of finally getting to game week here, what are your feelings now that knowing this is 7 days away finally?
Oh, excitement. Just getting to, with everything that's been going on, especially during the fall camp and a lot of uncertainty, even going on with scheduling and stuff. We know that this has now been down to single-digit days, and now it's within the week. So I think the guys are kind of transitioning to what it feels like and feeling a little bit normal. Getting some of that normal feeling back and going to school. I mean, we're wearing masks, we're doing all that stuff that we can to do it the right way. But it's just showing that we're trending towards something that can help. Possibly return back to normal life.
And then I wanted to ask you, Friday, you guys officially wrapped up fall camp. You guys were scrimmaging at the stadium. Any outcome from that you could share with us?
Yeah, we had some good live work, and I think the guys are just being able to get that feel of the game again was good. And I thought, depth chart-wise, we kind of had an idea of what it was going to look like, and this kind of confirmed a little bit of what we're looking at. And the candidates that could possibly, rise up in the depth chart. So you're seeing a lot of names there, but there's also some names probably that aren't listed that are still in the mix. And depending on things like health and you know, and getting themselves back and ready to roll, then that'll kind of contribute to if that thing changes, if the depth chart changes or not.
Kalani, how do you feel about just the opportunity that your program has to be on a national platform where so many programs have decided to be sidelined this year? This gives your team, your program, to really the landscape, the nation's going to be watching your program.
We're just excited to compete. I think we're just excited to play the game. I haven't really thought about all that stuff. You know, I know that it's getting a lot of attention. I mean, we were all watching an FCS game last weekend. You know what I mean? It was just a lot of fun. I just missed football, right? And so seeing all the high schools play within our state too, it's been really cool to see kind of what I mentioned before of things getting back to the schedule with such an odd year that we've had. And so really that's all it's about. It's just playing the game and trying to stay safe and trying to get things to normal.
And real quick too, running back position, what did Tyler Algier maybe do to close that gap to where it's listed as an or between him and Lopini on that depth chart?
I guess we'll find out. You know, he's a big, strong guy that he runs a physical game, and he and Lopini have a lot of things in common, but they also do things that are their own personal strengths, you know. So I think we'll need more than just the two guys, but it'll be good to see those guys kind of settle into their roles. And right now, the first game, there's no tendency, so we can do whatever we want. And you know, offensively and defensively and special teams, whatever we want to do to open up. But maybe we can do the same thing too. So that's the fun part about the openers.
Thanks, Colin.
Coach, are you anticipating any adjustment period at all to playing a road game with no fans? How do you prepare for that, or does it not require any preparation?
No, I'm just gonna play. I mean, that's never been a fact for us to look and see how many fans are in the stands. I think once you get in there and you get ready and have that mindset of just playing the game, that's all that matters. I don't think you know, our guys are going to be focused on that. I think we're just excited to play the game, and that's all that matters right now. And I've asked these guys to be ready to perform at their best. That's what we need to do as coaches and as players, to play at our best for 12, possibly 13 games, you know. And right now, this is the one we need to be ready for. And we don't factor the fact that it's at home or away or any of that stuff. We're just, regardless of what time the game is or who it is, we have to be at our best. And that gets a really quality team like Navy, and well-coached and well-disciplined kids that have a lot of athletic ability. You know, these guys they won a lot of games last year. So keep mentioning that they're not just an easy team to run through. We have to be ready, and they have all of our attention. We've seen the film, and the film is very impressive in all three phases. And kudos to Ken being able to get that team rolling. But that's his history as a coach. He'll have his team ready to roll, and we need to make sure we do the same.
Hey, Jared.
Kalani, one of the things to actually being able to play the games this year was the importance of testing for COVID. And Pini talked last week about how, you know, you do three, they've been doing at least three saliva tests a week. How big was the saliva testing, just as far as your confidence to being able to have your players, you know, being able to handle the virus and knowing where they're at and being ready to actually take the field in a game? Because it just seems like that was a big step.
You know, I think that's just one of those things that you just have to get used to, you know, whatever the test is, it doesn't matter. We know what's required to play football, and then we're going to do it. And these guys are committed to it. So whatever they ask us to do, we're not a place that makes statements on things like that, what kind of tests we want or anything. All we know is that we want to play football, and we want to represent well the school, the church, and our families. And so whatever is required from us to make it happen, we'll do. And I've just been really thankful for sports medicine department and our administration allowing us to have the right protocol and the policies in place so that we can do this and also feel safe. You know, that's really important, that with school starting and everything that's going on, that we keep educating our players on how they can keep themselves safe. And this is more than ever, we've always said that we have to hold them to a different standard when it comes to being a football player, because you're not going to be able to do the same things that other students do, and you have to be a little bit more mindful of your schedule and the clock and your rest and all those things that normal students don't have to worry about. And now we ask, you know, with the mask, wearing masks and being social, you know, practicing social distancing, it's all those things. We just added a little bit more to them, but they're used to knowing that they have a unique situation, and now we just added a couple things to ensure that they if they want to play football, they have to follow. And we've seen no issues from our players, and they're just thankful for it. I think you've heard them talk about how much gratitude they have for this game and for this opportunity, and we're looking forward to it. And I'm just really proud of these young men and the things that they've been committed to doing.